we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
I am so sick of COVID, I can't even see straight. But I'm going to have to talk about it, and I'm going to use the C word. Hopefully not too often, but definitely today. I'm Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and welcome to this episode of America Out Loud Radio Network's The Pulse. I am privileged to join the likes of Dr. McCullough, Dr. Peter, and Ginger Breggin in this series that's every weekday at 5 p.m. So who am I? Why am I here? I'm a third-generation physician, a people watcher, and someone who loves being an American. My mother said, I didn't talk till I was three, and then she couldn't shut me up. But my husband would also agree. So let's talk. COVID is an ugly infection. People have gotten seriously ill, and some have died. But the disease is even bigger than the threat of death. COVID is a weapon to fundamentally transform America. Let's start with Daniel Webster. He said, good intentions will always be pleaded for every assumption of authority. It's hardly too strong to say that the Constitution was made to guard the people against the dangers of good intentions, real or pretended. They promise to be good masters, but they mean to be masters. So do you remember when President Obama said he wanted to fundamentally change America? Maybe we listened, but I don't think we really took it to heart. We got complacent, things seemed to be going okay, but behind the scenes, even when things look good, the power brokers were manipulating us into a society with constant social unrest and dependency on the government, and worse, big corporations. Our individual liberties, bit by bit by bit, were being taken away. And then, okay, a few people's eyes were opened. So what happened? Enter COVID-19. This was just what the political doctors ordered. It's justified everything for leftist politicians to completely solidify their ideology. Now, it makes you ask, were the COVID restrictions out of concern for our safety and health? No. The rules were designed to get us used to government control. And it seems like the only concern of the political elite is to get more power. And at any cost, we're just collateral damage. We were a means to an end. You know, there's a pattern. Let's just look back a little. There is a big crisis that changed our government forever. In the 1930s Great Depression, President Roosevelt had the opportunity to get Americans to go along with massive government intervention. He formed 37 new government agencies and tons of regulations. And then we just kind of got used to it. It gave all this power to the federal government. And guess what? So many things, including Social Security, were supposed to be voluntary. Think back. Social Security in 1935 was a 29-page document. Now, it's over 3,400 pages. It went from old age retirement programs to food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, aid to families with dependent children, child care credits, and a bunch of programs I'm sure you've never even heard of. But guess what? They're taking all your tax dollars and they're changing the color of society. And I don't mean skin color. This completely was different from what we consider being the American way. When the colonists started healthcare, the whole idea was that there was relief for the poor and it was a local obligation and people were self-reliant and they were supposed to be volunteers and help everybody else out. It was the same way with healthcare as it was in basic society. And then we fast forward 2010. President Obama said, oh, his opponents act like the Affordable Care Act was a Bolshevik plot. It had mandates, rules about essential benefits, electronic records, all these things. Think of that word essential. Does that sound familiar? Remember when COVID came out and we suddenly had essential businesses? Who decided which businesses were essential and which stores could stay open? Why was it the big box stores and not your corner store, which of course would make much more sense because your corner store would know you and would have limited neighborhood people that went to it. And if there were a COVID outbreak, you'd kind of know what area it came from. On the other hand, if you go to the big box store, people are coming from all over town. There's no control over them. They're coughing, hacking, sneezing all up and down the aisles. But I digress. Let's just kind of make you think about some of these things that common sense didn't seem to be driving some of the rules of COVID. There's, not to sound harsh, but there's something about this so-called new normal. There is a KGB agent, Yuri Bezmenov, and he had a YouTube out. And he gave a warning about so-called ideological subversion of a population. He said, first, you demoralize them, and that's through academic and media manipulation. And you demoralize them to the point where facts no longer matter. It's just pounding and pounding and pounding of the same message. And then destabilization, especially of the country's economy. You force government to become more intrusive in our lives because they have to dole out financial benefits. Sound familiar again? Think about that $600 that many of us got, some people who didn't even need it, but it got the idea of giving a government check straight to your door. Then there's normalization. That's where the population is pushed to the point where they just acquiesce to all the authoritarianism. And that's the new normal. And guess what? We're almost there. So we know that famous saying about never letting a crisis go to waste. And these crises are just distractions. And I have to throw in this whole DEI stuff, diversity and racism and calling everybody a racist, because one of the things that keeps all this going is having a constant unrest to just make us more susceptible to government control. The social justice folks start pitting us against each other. And these are people we got along with for years. White supremacists used to be cross-burning Ku Klux Klansmen. Now it's anyone these woke folks disagree with. And believe me, if they can convince you math is racist, they can convince you of anything. We kind of think, oh, this is America. This kind of stuff will never happen. Well, guess what? It has happened before. There is a very famous case called Buck versus Bell. And that was a case about forced sterilization, where this was kind of in the time when everybody was into eugenics and having the perfect society. And there were laws across almost all the states in the country that said you could sterilize feeble-minded people. Well, the great liberal justice, Oliver Wendell Holmes, decided that sterilization was fine and that it didn't matter that the person they wanted to sterilize was not feeble-minded. She was an unwed mother Her mother was a prostitute, but neither of them were feeble-minded. But he decided that they were, quote unquote, from the courts, white trash, and three generations of imbeciles are enough. So these were revered people. And that court decision was 8-1. Interestingly, the only person who dissented, and he didn't write a dissent, was Justice Butler. And he was a devout Catholic and a strict constitutional constructionist. And he had opposed all the welfare programs in the New Deal. So kind of interesting, that correlation. And there's another case that some people may not remember, Korematsu versus the United States. This was another case where there's no evidence and it was bad policy. And another icon, FDR, decided that Japanese people should be put in an internment camp and that it was necessary. At least here, there were three dissenters. And then we had something related to COVID. Some poor doctor in Texas who worked for the public health department had 10 doses of COVID vaccine. They were ready to expire. He was fired from his public health job and charged with theft of $135 worth of vaccine. And you know why? Because he gave them to the people in his office because they were going to expire. And after he'd offered them to police and firefighters and there were no takers, he used the vaccine rather than throw it away. So what's the lesson learned? Okay, the governments can be lunatics. No, that too, I guess. But if you want to do the reasonable, ethical thing, you have to move underground, operate in secrecy. That's not the American way. One of the next things I'll talk about are some of the psychological tools that were really brought to light after the Korean War. And a lot of the psychologists all around the world, and certainly in America, studied what the Korean War folks did. And there was a study called the Biderman Report, and they named several really prominent techniques. One was isolation, depriving the prisoner of social support. Then they worked on showing the prisoner who was in charge, and that it was futile to resist. And then degradation. That was making resistance worse than compliance. And then finally, enforcing trivial demands. And that was supposed to get you in the habit of compliance. And this, let's think about COVID. Essential activities, we were told what we could do, wear masks, even though early on people knew masks didn't work, stay 6 feet apart, even though early on everybody knew aerosols went 27 feet, which would be pretty impossible for everyone to stay 27 feet apart. So these were big things that had no science behind it, yet we fell into line. In 1956, the CIA did a big study on communist control techniques. And what did they decide? That man's relations with other people, especially those close to him, are almost important to him as food and drink. Let me say that again. Relations with people close to you are almost as important as food or drink. What did they do with COVID? Lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. You couldn't see grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, anyone that was close to you. And our problems don't stop just because the government says you can't go visit your friends. And we need our friends, but they made sure that we'd have to try to get along without them. And the only person knocking at our door was going to be the government. So these lockdowns, they're just a page right out of the communist playbook. And one of the things that's so bothersome is COVID is a medical problem. Yes, we have public health issues, but doctors seem to be left out of the picture because these various public health authorities made us feel like it was certain death if you got COVID. Thus, you had to do all these things to so-called flatten the curve. Of course, that was supposed to be 2 weeks, but it was already too late because COVID was already out there, spread by aerosols. But again, the science didn't matter. And this is the bothersome part. That went out the door, and that should bother us all. When rules can be made, they're not based on science, then you have to say, where'd the rules come from? Why did we have them? Why did businesses stay closed? Why did businesses have to really go into bankruptcy, many of them, never to reopen again? Why were families separated? Why did people in nursing homes have to die alone? That one just gets me almost more than anything else. And here now we have studies talking about, older women die of loneliness. Well, to me, that's a big duh. Loneliness can be worse than having some sort of physical disease. And I think you don't have to be a psychologist to know that. And then the worst is seeing how the elected leaders just ignored their own mandates. Governor Newsom of California had a big party right in the midst of COVID at a restaurant called the French Laundry, where the dinners there famously are $400 a plate. No one had on a mask. And to make it all worse, some of the people in attendance were from the California Medical Association, his favorite lobbyists. We saw that. And then how are we supposed to believe what they're telling us to do? We see Nancy Pelosi getting a dumb haircut while everybody else is walking around shaggy and really looking quite unpleasant, all because of their rules that they didn't follow. And it turned out that these lockdowns did cause more harm than good. Early on, they saw that liquor, alcohol sales were up 55% and drugs, anti-anxiety drugs, up 34%. And domestic violence that was measured by radiologists looking at x-rays, so these weren't just guesses, doubled. So this was verifiable domestic violence, doubled within 6 months. We had more substance abuse, suicide. They guessed that many cancer diagnoses would be missed. And as it turned out, that turned out to be true. They were missed. And now that they have studies, and particularly colon cancer screenings went way down by about 18%. So these things aren't just theoretical. And you know, the people who put this stuff out there knew that this was the case. I'm going to move on and go to another topic with kids and education after we come back.
Along with a healthy immune system, clean air is vital for optimal health. According to the EPA, we spend 90% of our time indoors, where germs are most concentrated. It's essential to clean indoor air. Genesis is the only technology that quickly, safely, and effectively kills pathogens both in the air and on surfaces in seconds, reducing the viral load in any environment. The powerful, well-built Genesis fogger produces a dry, ultra-fine mist using HOCl, which occurs naturally in our own immune systems. We'll be living with airborne diseases in the future. New viruses and antibiotic-resistant superbugs are no problem for Genesis. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America out loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
On to our most precious resource, the children. 40% of poor children only went to remote learning during this whole COVID thing. Children have gotten so far back. And again, now we're here long enough to know that everything caused more problems than it solved. And the children have been thrown back some 2 years in their development from wearing masks, from not going to school. And it's actually a crime. But there's a reason. Eric Hoffer wrote an amazing book 50 years ago. It's called True Believer, where he was talking about what makes a mass movement and how you pull people into a mass movement. And one of the things is you have to make them miserable. As he says, people whose lives are barren and insecure show a greater willingness to obey than people who are self-sufficient and self-confident. So what did the lockdowns and all that other garbage do? It served to keep us in line. Worse, the media puppets just kept it going. They instilled the fear. They had COVID deaths up on the wall, no matter what news report you looked at. We couldn't get away from it. They called cases, well, let's put it this way. A positive COVID test doesn't always make you sick. You have a positive COVID test. And in medicine, we tend to think of a case as someone being sick. Well, they called all positive COVID tests a case. So it looked like there were more sick people than there were. And lo and behold, the CDC has now come out admitting that by 7.5%, which is quite a lot, they overestimated the number of deaths, particularly childhood deaths, which is kind of suspicious since they were trying to get us to get all the kids vaccinated. So there kind of seems to be a little correlation with that. Not only that, cases were counted twice. And then the biggie that started to come out was having people who died because of COVID, that because they were horribly sick with COVID, versus people who died of something else like a heart attack, but they happened to have a positive COVID test. So that was a little squishy as far as giving us the information. They didn't tell us about the survival rates and who survived and who didn't and who was at risk. Older folks were at risk. Most of the deaths, the large percentage of deaths, were people over 70. And that's not to say there weren't younger people who died. 40% of the deaths were people in nursing homes, which of course means you're not in a nursing home because you're healthy. These were people who were of fragile health in the first place. Then we've got deaths of hospice patients, let's see, deaths. Most of the deaths were in people who had other conditions, usually about four other conditions. Then they didn't let us know about natural immunity that's stronger than vaccine immunity. So there were so many things that we were either told or not told to try to get us to think in a different way. It's just plain wrong. Then we end up with cancel culture. And I say, okay, we all know about cancel culture and people can't do anything and can't say anything. But what is it really? I mean, it kind of isolates people who committed the mortal sin of having an alternate view. We're in America. We're supposed to have alternate views. We talk about the marketplace of ideas. Well, it seemed to be dead. That marketplace was closed along with everything else. And censoring doctors, huge crime. And I believe, like this whole diatribe I'm going on, is that they had to get rid of the doctors speaking out because doctors traditionally are free thinkers. Go back to Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao. They killed millions with bullets, forced labor, or starvation. But they knew that silencing people, silencing with dissenting opinions, was stronger than the bullets. And what did Mao do? He had the doctors go work in the fields to show that they didn't know any more than anybody else. And that, I kind of feel like that's what they did to us. They relegated us to the fields because our opinion suddenly didn't matter. Lenin also noticed that ideas were more fatal than guns. We've seen that. And we saw the propaganda, we saw the media bias. So the next step, of course, was censorship. And we're seeing it now. Who ever heard of the word misinformation until all this mess started, or disinformation? These are words out of 1984, George Orwell's book. I mean, this just was not in our vocabulary, but suddenly we had opinions being told they don't matter. Only Dr. Fauci's opinion mattered. And any studies that came out that showed opinions that were different from his, oh, they're merely observational. Well, what is it that doctors do? They observe. And I'm sorry, but for years, in people would write in journal articles, they'd write a letter and say, oh, I had a patient that such and such happened to, and other doctors would learn about it and they'd write back and say, oh yeah, I've seen that. And in fact, that's how people figured out where AIDS came from. It was people communicating their clinical observations, but I guess that just wasn't good enough for Dr. St. Anthony Fauci. And the worst was his advice about masks. He knew we didn't have to wear masks. He said that early on. And then suddenly it was our moral duty to wear two masks. And why? Because he's just trying to show you who's boss. Plain and simple. Then we get on to the vaccine mandates. Since when have we been told we have to take a medicine? We haven't. We haven't. And there were multiple papers saying there was a way to treat COVID. Why would you have to be vaccinated? There were papers that showed natural immunities, papers from Israel and other countries. And then as COVID changed and we got all these variants. They thought the vaccine didn't even work against the variants. It was already too late. The so-called alpha that they made the vaccine to, it was long gone. Then we had Delta. Now we have Omicron. And what happens when we get eta, gamma, lambda, kappa, iota, mu, and theta? We're going to have all these variants. So, and there certainly don't have a vaccine for all of those. And are we going to be expected to get all of those? And what's interesting is you look at some health departments and they've even stopped counting cases because COVID has become what they call endemic, where it's around. It's not like a common cold, which is certainly can't make you as sick as COVID, but like a common cold, it's around. So it's something we have to get used to, and we have to do simple things to make it go away, but we don't have to disrupt our lives. And this is the problem. The standard things that we've done for years, wash your hands, cough into your elbow, stay home if you're sick. That's what we need to do. We don't need to totally transform our lives. The thing that's so bothersome is, since when did public health get to be secret police? Since when did the World Health Organization tell us that we have to have vaccine passports in order to move through society? It hasn't been that way. Since when do we have politicians making a national immunization database? They have that bill thrown out there. It hasn't been passed, but keep your eyes open because it's out there. And there's also a bill out there for a national patient ID. Suddenly we're being tracked, and this is not the American way. This is not the way of free people. So we've got to open our eyes. This authoritarianism, the more we accept it, the more it becomes the new normal. And it's fascinating to me now how the government bought up all the Regeneron antibody treatments. And then, so you had to go to the government. The hospitals had to get their allocation from the government. Since when do you do that? It's like, have it out there. Leave it for the doctors and the hospitals to get some allotment. And if there is a limit, say what the limit is, but don't buy it all up. And then the worst is when Homeland Security came out and grouped people who oppose the COVID mandates as potential terrorists. And now the Surgeon General came out with this request to find out what's the impact of health misinformation in the digital environment. And he wants the tech platforms to turn in people who have said anything negative about masks, anything about so-called unproven treatments, not to mention that there's always been unproven treatments that people use all the time. Do you know that 20% of all medications patients get are off-label uses, meaning uses of not why the drug was invented? Think of aspirin to prevent heart attacks. That wasn't an on-label use of aspirin. And it had been known for years before the FDA finally did the whole rigmarole to make that an on-label use of aspirin. So there's been tons of things out there. But no, things were different with COVID. Oh, and these elected officials, I just don't know who they think they are. Things that we would have thought were totally absurd are now reality. Two congresspeople actually wanted to so-called purge the airwaves of unacceptable content. And no, they weren't talking about child porn. They were talking about alternate opinions about COVID. They wrote to AT&T and all these various providers of TV and wanted them to punish Fox News and Newsmax and OAN because they disseminated misinformation by having doctors that talked about other means of treatment of COVID. They even wanted these people to drop the stations. And then these same fools wanted to have an unvaccinated no-fly list for both domestic and international flights. It sounds so absurd now that we know at some point we're all going to test positive for COVID. It doesn't mean we're all going to get sick, but if you were to draw a test on everybody, we'll end up being positive. End of story. So thank goodness they've kind of dropped this no-fly list thing. I think the airline companies probably made them do that because they know they'd have no business. So they do bow to the big corporations, even if they don't bow to us. So they were really trying to make sure that we were financially broke and mentally broken. But what interests me, and I find somewhat amusing, is people like those Congress people who want these restrictive laws think that they're going to be spared from the Politburo. Well, guess what? These useful idiots, they get dumped just like everybody else. There's only a few at the top. I think we'll stop now, take a break, and then we're going to finish up this, as I say, kind of a lesson in looking out for authoritarianism.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to healthycell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, if you can stand it for a little longer, it makes my blood boil, I have to say, just even thinking about this and having to talk about it, because this isn't who we are. It's not who America is. It's not who people are. People were born free. I sound like Elsa the Lioness, but it's true. We all think about it. We come out of the womb as free people, And we need government to help with civil unrest and to help society stay within certain bounds. But our everyday activities are not to be ruled by the government. We know our freedom is fragile. And even amazingly, in a recent Supreme Court case that was Brooklyn v. Cuomo, that's when Cuomo wanted to vaccinate everyone in a certain neighborhood, the Supreme Court said, even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten. Well, somehow it was forgotten, and we forgot it. And that's our own fault. We have to remember that we do have rights, and we can't accept what the government has done. We can't, just sort of sit back and say, well, it's got to be that way, and oh, it's for our health, and whatever excuse somebody comes up with. But we have to sit back and use our heads, use our common sense. Some of the things that were done, no question that some of the medical things were useful, and some of the medications that have come out have turned out to be useful. But these so-called non-pharmacological interventions didn't even have a scientific background. It had questionable beginnings, the whole concept. And we weren't even told the truth. What would you have thought if you knew that COVID was spread by aerosols, which they knew, and that when you looked at engineering studies and real studies with real people where they captured aerosols after a sneeze, that it went out 27 feet and not 6 feet? And then you'd wonder, well, why did they tell us 6 feet? Well, some people say it's because somebody made a mistake and it was supposed to be 6 meters. But they said, and 6 meters is closer to the 27 feet. I don't know if that's true, if that's a misprint or not, but it sort of makes sense. But what makes a lot of sense is if they said 27 feet, everybody would have said, you're nuts, you're crazy. Who can stand 27 feet apart? And then I have to laugh. Something that was on Twitter, the famous Twitter, week or so ago, where there was a Congressional Wives Luncheon, and the vaccinated were allowed to go to the luncheon and eat and converse with others. But the unvaccinated, even though they were taking COVID tests at the door, could not eat and had to stay 6 feet away from others at the party. Well, how could you even go to the party? You come up with these absurd things, and how someone could think that was even normal is beyond me. But if people accept it, then it's our own fault. So we've got to look at all these mandates, the propaganda, the behavior control, and basically making us beg to have our civil rights. And you know what? Many people succumb to that. And why? They first paralyze them with fear, and kind of fear of our neighbor, fear of a disease that you might not even be high risk for. It was bizarre to me. As a physician, it was bizarre. And as a human being, something just didn't smell right. So we have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of letting them turn us into a society where they're going to pit Black neighbor against white neighbor, and the vaccinated against the unvaccinated, and the masked against the unmasked. And worse, it's the compliant against the critical thinkers. And then the idea of social distancing, not seeing your friends, not seeing your family, then becomes a habit. And people don't think it's weird anymore not to visit people in person, where Zoom ends up being the only way you talk. Even now, yes, it's convenient to have a meeting over Zoom, because that way people from different parts of the country can talk to each other without spending $500 for a plane ticket. But why are you having a Zoom meeting when everybody used to work in the same office? It's odd. And I'm no energy expert, but I am an expert on gas prices, and I know that my gas prices are up to $6.59 a gallon. And who knows if the high gas prices feed into this whole idea of keeping us apart, because at $6.59 a gallon, you're not going to go driving all over town. And some people have decided that they want to keep these Zoom meetings and not go to work because it costs too much in gas to go to work. But people over and over complain that the environment is different when you don't see people face to face. And I'm sure we all have our own experience with that. So I just look at who seems to be in charge now. It certainly isn't doctors, our clinicians, our own personal physicians. It seems like it's politicians, all the software billionaires, all the big pharmaceutical companies who want to sell us their products. And that's who seems to be in charge now. And it's wrong. And it's looking to me like the biggest legacy of COVID, rather than the unfortunate people who died and their saddened families, is that it's total government control. And I feel like the government didn't really care if your family member died, but they knew it would keep you fearful and it would make you easier to control. I mean, one of the things, and I don't think people even know this, that remember when they had the rent, the evictions that couldn't happen, and they stopped all evictions and people didn't have to pay the rent. Nobody ever said who was going to pay the taxes and the upkeep for the landlords, but what did it matter? Who did that? It wasn't local governments. It was the Department of Health and Human Services. What does the Department of Health and Human Services have to do with seizing private property? So what is that the buildup for? First, they say people don't have to pay rent. Then they said people's health insurance could be lowered to $1 a month. So what comes next? Universal basic income. It's like they're just trying to build that whole welfare idea into our heads, even with these gas cards that some people are giving. In California, they're not giving a specific amount of money per gallon, which they could lower the gas price to make it easier for poorer people to afford to buy gas for their car, because they have to commute farther than rich people who might not have to commute at all. No, they're giving a gas card to everyone who's registered a car. It doesn't matter the income. It doesn't matter if it's an electric car. You get a $400 gas card. This is what's proposed. How absurd is that? But again, it doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is they're trying to get you used to getting money from the government. Mark my words, universal basic income will be next. So one of my favorite people. I wish I knew him, but I'm not quite old enough. Frederick Douglass. In the 1800s, he warned that power concedes nothing without a demand. So what does that tell us? It's our job, and we have to tell anyone who'll listen, refuse to join the herd trapped behind that electrified fence. Refuse to be bullied and stand up to the lies. We can't hand over our bodies and our lives to the government, because once you hand them over, you may never get them back. I don't know where this story came from, but it resonated with me because of this idea that all this stuff is happening around us, all this manipulation is happening around us. But for whatever reason, because it's uncomfortable, because it's wishful thinking, that we're not taking heed. So this is a little story. A seventh grade teacher put on a video and told the class to take notes. 10 minutes in, she threw the lights on and shouted at Stephen Hirsch, telling him he wasn't taking notes. But he was taking notes, and everyone saw it. Everyone knew it. The teacher asked, would anyone speak up for Steve? A few people kind of said, mumbled a few words of defense, but immediately were quieted down by everybody else. And everybody in the room was silent. So she sent Steve to the principal's office. And then the teacher came back in the room and said, see how easy that was? And guess what the video was? Anne Frank. And that just lets us know, don't ever let anyone tell you what you see with your own eyes isn't happening. And ugly things are happening, and it's up to us to pay attention. Now, there's a lot of things going around other than COVID. And I mean, not just disease, but other little government niggles that are trying to get us more dependent and trying to make us less self-sufficient. But we have to remember, our self-sufficiency is in the end what we have to lean on. Our family, our friends, and those close to us are what we have to lean on. There's people, there's doctors that you can get medical advice from, and use those doctors. And if you and your doctor have a disagreement about how to proceed on something, discuss it. And that kind of has an aside, and hopefully we'll have a whole nother hour to talk about this, is what happened in medicine and what do these 7-minute visits really mean? But that's all part of the big picture. If you only have 7 minutes to spend with the doctor, how much can you actually discuss? How much can you go over why you have issues with a treatment or whatever? And just looking at the COVID vaccinations, which some people are highly against, some people are very much for them, be able to find out why, be able to say, well, I know people who had bad reactions, but in 7 minutes, there's no time to do that. And I think that's all part of the game. Make it where people will start to lose trust and confidence in their doctors, won't have time with their doctors. And then there you have it. The only person to listen to is Dr. Fauci and the like. So, oh, gee, on that somber note, I must say thank you so much for listening. And remember, you're your boss. So here we are at America Out Loud. There's free apps on Apple and Android and Alexa, and you can hear the pulse beep, beep every weekday at 5 p.m. And then it's on iHeart and a bunch of other platforms. And within 24 hours, these shows will go direct to podcast. So make it easy on yourself. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com, bookmark it so you can click it on whenever you feel like it. Check out the podcast, check out some essays that are written by lots of the folks who have shows. And whether you agree or have other opinions, keep an open mind, share the show. And until next week, say it loud, I'm free and I'm proud. Thank you.